While we're all waiting for the Trump verdict, no one is watching the case closer than the Clown News Network, which has a jury deliberation clock on the screen, counting down the number of hours and minutes the jury has been deliberating. And the longer they're in deliberation, the better the chances are for Trump that he may get a hung jury. Pretty unlikely that he'll get an acquittal, so the best that we could pray for, and a significant chance that it may happen, is a holdout juror, or maybe two, who aren't going along with this scam. Of course, we could get a decision today or tomorrow, but if they come back and say that they're a hung jury, the odds are that the judge is initially going to reject that decision and send them back to the deliberation room. So they could be there all weekend or even into next week as they try to pressure the one possible or maybe even several holdouts into going along with the scam. Despite all the propaganda and all the gaslighting for the last 8 years about how Donald Trump is an obvious criminal and a mafia boss and he's going to prison, everybody knows that these cases, particularly this case, after hearing the imaginary supposed evidence, is weak.
Look, I think that it's very likely this is the only trial that we are going to get before Election Day. And this case is not a slam dunk, which means that Donald Trump may very well not be convicted.
Well, that's what we're praying for, and that's what the judge is extremely concerned about. So he issued some very odd instructions to the jury, saying that they don't even need to unanimously agree on the alleged predicate crime that Donald Trump supposedly committed in order to convict, because they would have zero case if they weren't allowed to come up with this crazy convoluted theory about how the misclassification, alleged misclassification of the payment to Sloppy Daniels that they claimed Donald Trump knew about was to cover up another alleged crime, election interference, instead of protecting his family and, you know, having his wife hear about this terrible, salacious news. So now they don't even need to come to a unanimous agreement on what he supposedly did, as long as they all agree that he did something wrong. Which prompted MSNBC legal analyst Andrew Weissman, one of the lead persecutors of the Mueller hoax, to say this.
With, as you've noted, with respect to Judge Marchand, I mean, I am like now, you know, I have like a man crush on him. He is such a great judge that it's hard to see that the jurors wouldn't have the same impression. I mean, he's just, you just keep on thinking, if you looked in a dictionary for like judicial temperament, that's what you get.
Okay, Mr. Weaselman, we don't need to hear about your personal life. It's already quite evident by the sound of your voice. But speaking of MSNBC, something fun happened yesterday, which involved Joy Reid, thanks to Real America Voice host Ben Bergquam, who happened to run into her outside of the trial.
Joy, just wondering, do you think people with Trump derangement syndrome know they have it?
You're an idiot.
And second question, did you steal Trump's haircut? Did he steal yours? Cultural appropriation haircut right there.
She certainly did. There is an odd similarity, you gotta admit.
No.
We're white. Evangelicals are overrepresented in the Republican electorate.
We all know that this whole thing is fake, but even MSNBC couldn't help but admit that the key closing arguments of the prosecution was an imaginary reenactment of an allegation that came from admitted and obvious liar Michael Cohen.
The prosecutor acted out for the jury a phone call between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump.
An alleged phone call. A imaginary phone call.
A phone call as it could have happened. This is an important phone call because the defense had sort of hung a big part of its case on the idea that Cohen, Michael Cohen, was lying about a phone call that he said he had with Donald Trump about Stormy Daniels.
Yes, because the phone records clearly show that he was texting about and talking about some prank phone calls that he was receiving after he got doxxed. And he was not making a phone call to talk to Donald Trump about the Sloppy Daniels cover-up. So then the prosecution concocted a tall tale saying that, okay, so the phone call wasn't actually to Donald Trump. The phone call was to somebody else, and it was about Michael Cohen complaining about getting prank phone calls. But then, after he was done talking about that, on that same brief phone call, he decided to change the subject and have the person hand the phone over to Donald Trump, where he then schemed and plotted to commit this Sloppy Daniels cover-up.
Because that phone call was very short. That phone call was only, I believe, a minute and 36 seconds long. Cohen also in that time says he spoke to Trump's bodyguard. He had to speak to Trump's bodyguard, Keith Schiller, and say, hey, will you put Trump on? And then he spoke with Trump about Stormy Daniels. The defense claimed that if it was only a minute and 36 seconds, that just wasn't enough time for Cohen to have had any substantive discussion with Trump about Stormy Daniels and about this alleged hush money plot.
And it's completely ridiculous that he just magically omitted the initial reason for the phone call and then only later remembered, oh yeah, well, first I was talking to the bodyguard about getting the prank phone calls. Then I decided that I needed to tell Trump about the Sloppy Daniels payment. I'll spare you from having to listen to Richard Maddow anymore, but what he goes on to say is that the prosecutor literally pretended to be on the phone and spoke out loud, acting as Michael Cohen, and then reenacting the imaginary phone call to the bodyguard, and then just making stuff up about what Michael Cohen allegedly said to Trump and what Trump allegedly said back about the cover-up. Even the clowns on CNN were laughing at how absurd this was.
And when he timed it, it was 49 seconds, which is way less than the 96 seconds of the actual call.
I was very surprised that this was allowed to happen, because I felt like he kind of injected hypothetical things that did not actually happen into the minds of the jury. That's kind of amazing.
Look at them. They all know that this is absolutely ridiculous. And even if Donald Trump gets convicted, it's only going to backfire on them. And because they've been saying that Donald Trump has been acting like a mob boss, and talking like a mob boss, that's why they don't have any direct statements or communications of him directing Michael Cohen to break the law, because Michael Cohen just knew what the boss wanted and he did whatever it took to please him. We might as well start calling ourselves the MAGA Mafia. And of course, I have a new MAGA Mafia shirt, official member since 2016, available from my online store at markdice.com, or click the link in the description below. And if you heard the uproar over Justice Alito flying an American flag upside down at his house after the 2020 election, which is just a symbol of America being in distress, and then another flag being photographed at his vacation home, the An Appeal to Heaven flag, then you may be interested in an Appeal to Heaven shirt, which also is available at markdice.com, or click the link in the description below and check them out.